Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
Derek, what's up?
Not much. I had a fantastic nap this afternoon.
I have decided.
Yes.
I am getting old.
Oh, you've decided.
I've decided.
Decided.
Because now I'm doing the after dinner, sit in front of the TV and fall asleep thing. Isn't that an old guy thing? I'm sitting there watching TV. And Tracy goes, is this your, like, pre-bedtime nap? Rehearsal places, people.
So I don't decide anything. My body has chosen to deliver that message. I put up Christmas lights over the weekend. So I was up and down a ladder, I don't know how many dozens of times. And it's like 2.5 stories up to the roof line on one side of the house. So it's a lot of rungs of the ladder. So I move it about, 2-3 feet, climb back up again. And so my toes, ankles, shins, knees. So yeah, my body has said, hey, by the way, you're old. You shouldn't be doing that.
Maybe you should listen to your body and not do that.
I know.
Well, our neighbors came home from work yesterday and their front yard puked Christmas.
I meant to mention that to you when I came in. It's like, there was like Christmas vomit on your neighbor's yard.
It just vomited Christmas all over. And there's one up the road.
Yeah.
You got the Grinch peeking out behind this tree, and there's a snowman there, and his hands are
shivering.
That doesn't look like it's shivering. I don't know what kind of Merry XXXmas they're going on up there, but I looked at it, I'm thinking, it's got to be he's cold.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of, but they're not really.
But the Grinch is peeping.
That's what I'm saying. It's voyeur Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, when I parked and walked in, I had to pause for a sec to take it all in because it's one of those Christmas light scenes that it's like you can't just glance at it and say, oh, that's nice. It's like you glance at it and look again and then stare. It's like, okay, there's some there. Because you can't take it all in one glance.
There's so many pieces and parts to it.
It doesn't flow.
No.
It does not flow.
That's why I say it looks like their lawn just barfed Christmas.
Yeah.
And then you look at our house. And I'm just going to put an arrow that says ditto.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I know. I don't like to put up Christmas decorations at all, but last couple of years for Tracy I've been putting them up but I wait till December.
I put them up because I put lights up once. And so at my old house I put them up. Scared the crap out of herself because I was on the roof and said, oh, they're staying up. So they stayed up. Yeah. But when I moved away from the old house, I just grabbed one end and yanked it. It all came down, all the little clips shattering as they go. And that's what I did on the weekend because I didn't want to do it when it was cold. So I ripped down the old lights that the previous owner had up there that I used for the past couple of Christmases because, like, hey, there's lights up. I might as well use them.
Right.
And so it was funny. I just gave the end of it a yank and it just, all the little white clips just flung everywhere. You could hear as a light string comes flying down to the ground. It was like, ooh, that was fun.
Again.
Yeah. And so I'm only halfway done. I've last 5 or 6 years, I've bought a bunch of lights on discount that I've been sitting in a garage. And it's like, I'm going to use them now. And it's warm. I'm going to put them up.
Yeah.
So all the high
stuff.
I just do some of the stuff
around the front of our house there, on the banisters and stuff like that. Nothing massive.
I don't do a lot either. But since I'm only going to have to do it once because these are going to be permanent. They're discreet, they're small.
Then why don't you do it in the summer?
You know, I thought about that all summer long. It was just one of those procrastination things.
Just do it all, because you know you're going to do it. You're going to leave them up there. You might as well do it in shorts and a t-shirt on a hot summer day. Sit back, drink some beer, turn them on, just so your neighbors can go, who the hell's the new guy?
So, yeah, they're half up. Got half of them up.
They're half up. That's all right. So I will lay you $20. It says it doesn't get more than half up.
Well, maybe. I'm very disappointed in them because they're not as bright as I thought they'd be. It's like, oh, I should have tested them.
I know some people like that. Not so bright. It's not as bright as I thought they'd
are,
be.
These are not as bright as I thought they'd be.
Oh, man. I don't even remember what I did last weekend. I know there was yard work. There was housework. There was some shopping. There was the leash-free area with the dog.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Athena, don't go in the water. Oh, you mean in the water. Oh, sorry, I misheard. I thought you said go in the water. You're not drying as fast this time of year, dog.
Yes,
and exactly. You're not getting in my up on my truck seat, so she gets mad because now she can't just sit and look out the window. She's actually got to stand and look out the window because I put the seats up. You're soaking wet. Like, come on. Get with the program.
When we were camping recently, Mike's dog, Willow, like, that dog is like bulletproof. It's freezing cold, and she just walks into the water. like the lake is right in front of us, and so she'll walk in, belly in the water, because I guess it's easier to drink if it's snoot level, right?
Bring the water up to your face. Why bend for it?
She wanders through, gets all wet, and it's like, and then she's soaking wet, and it's like, it's cold out, but it doesn't seem to bother her. It's amazing.
Yeah. Some dogs are amazing. Like that. She's Athena's like that with the snow.
Yeah.
She'll go and have a nap on her back in the snow. Yeah. Like, really, dog? Really?
Yeah.
But she doesn't like the rain.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just have to get used to it.
What a weird dog. People say I always get the weird animals. Yeah,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Other than that, nothing new?
No, nothing new.
Nothing happening? Nothing shaking?
It's that slow time of year, right? It's at work, things have slowed down a little bit, but...
All my boats have been moved around in my garage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because it's snow tire season.
That's
and guess what I used to prop up the kayak?
The
I put all the snow tires underneath.
That's what I'm doing this weekend. I got 3 cars to do.
Are you doing it yourself?
Yeah.
Ah, got time for that. Nobody ain't got time for that.
My knees.
I just take mine up the road. Well, because our street that I work on, it's all mechanics and stuff.
Oh, so you
just drive in. There's a tire craft place there.
Yeah.
So I just drive in. You got time? Yeah, pull it in. And doodly-doo-doo-doo. Thanks. Here you go. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Nice.
And off I go. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing that on the weekend. So my knees are going to recover just in time for me to do 3 sets of winter tires.
Excellent. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah.
I've been doing some Googling here, and just to speak of Googling, Friday, November 15th, which was last Friday.
Yes.
The Google Doodle. So when you go to Google homepage, there's that little picture with the word Google. They manipulate it into different pictures. They call it the Google Doodle. Friday, the Google Doodle celebrated Native American Month by spotlighting the history of the kayak or hunter's boat from 5,000 years ago. Created by Inuit Nanangit guest artist Natasha Alakarialik, sorry for butchering that, the black and pink artwork shows a lone figure paddling a watercraft on a lake near a mountain with an orange sun replacing one of the O's in Google. If you go to Google and just type in November 15th.
Yeah, I did that.
Google Doodle.
I just did a voice thing. I clicked on this microphone. I said November 15th Google Doodle and it popped right up.
Yeah, you'll be able to see it there. Small and narrow watercraft were created thousands of years ago for hunting, fishing, and transportation. Kayaking has since evolved into a widely popular recreational activity and competitive sport. Native American communities in Arctic regions are to thank for these paddle-powered boats. Kayaks were originally invented by northern tribes, including Inuit, Aleut, Inupiat, and Yupik, and made with animal skins, bones, driftwood to help traverse cold waters. These boats offered hunters the stealth and mobility to successfully catch fish, seals, whales, and more in even the most treacherous waters. I think there was a thing on the National Film Board of Canada about the Inuit kayaks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a little black and white film from like the 60s or something like that.
Probably.
Yeah, have to Google that. So yeah, so that was little Google Doodle. But while I was Googling, I came across this thing, and I think I'm going to order some from Switzerland. It's this coffee paste. So picture a tube of toothpaste, but instead of toothpaste, a coffee paste comes out, which you can mix with hot water to make a slightly sweetened coffee.
Yeah.
You can mix it with Nutella to make a hazelnut coffee spread. You can put it on toast. You can put it in different types of baking. There was something else they added it to. There was the baking. There was the drinks. They spread it right on toast, which was kind of disgusting.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to order. You can get four of them for like $54.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just, I think maybe what we'll do is sit down and do a little. Because remember we did the coffee tasting a few years back in Michigan when we were at the Quiet Adventure Symposium? I think maybe when those come in, I think maybe we'll sit down. Maybe we'll get Kevin Callen in on the deal. We'll get Alan in on the deal. Alan Drummond from Kingdom Outdoor. We'll sit down with four of us. We'll each get a tube and try it.
I tried to... Your Wi-Fi is... I don't know what's wrong with your Wi-Fi.
It's slow
today. But I
actually
tried to buy it, but... I'm not going to click it again, but it timed out, so I was unable to complete the purchase.
Oh.
I tried.
And he hit return, and now all of a sudden he's getting 12 of them.
Exactly.
The biggest comments on them were the price, of course.
So it is pricey.
It is pricey. It's coming from Switzerland.
Yeah.
And the other people say, why is it sweetened? Well, it's slightly sweetened, they say.
Because slightly.
That way you don't have to... All you do basically is add hot water.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a slightly sweetened coffee.
Yeah.
You're not having to carry anything extra. And they put it in their trail mix bars. Their little power bars that they make.
Exactly.
So they can
on the video
start
with
an extra little kick of caffeine in their power bars, right? So I think maybe we'll see about getting some of those. And are you going to buy some?
Well, I don't know if your internet will let me. Like, I'm going through my banking to see if it worked. And,
Yeah, it slowed right down when you came in.
Yeah.
Because I was watching.
It's afraid of me.
I was streaming stuff earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes Derek with his credit card. Slow down. Because he's going to buy stuff. And we're going to get in trouble. Because his wife's going to call us. Why do you let him buy stuff?
Yeah, let me try again.
Anyway, we'll see about getting some of those and do a little video or something about this. But yeah, just like I say, picture. I wonder if you can brush your teeth with it. Because it looks like toothpaste. brush your teeth and have coffee at the exact same time.
Anybody who has, and you might have seen the tubes because Ariana painted, but it looks like, so it's a black tube, and it just looks like a tube of paint.
Yeah.
Acrylic paint or something. So it looks like a squeeze tube. It's black, and my niece, she paints, and so you see, like, dozens of these little tubes of paint where she paints, and it's like, it was when I first saw this thing listed, it went through this time.
Oh, so you bought some.
I just did.
When are we getting it?
Well, who knows?
January.
Could be. Yeah, it's not going to say.
Because it's supposed to be good that you can throw it in your pack for hiking and canoe trips.
Yeah.
Or if you're going out for the day, you got your jet boil there in a cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just pour in some of this stuff. And,
yeah.
We're being joined.
Your dog surprised me. She just walked by and whacked me with her tail. And it's so shocking.
At least she's not like, wiping her nose on you anymore.
I know. It's a shock. It's so like, oh, that was wet and cold.
She's got her big tennis ball now. Yeah, so hi. She's grunting. Anyway, we'll do that. We'll set something up and test that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Georgia again and the continuing story.
It's the continuing saga.
It's a continuing saga of Georgia and their water issues. So we've talked about this before. They're talking about banning any boats on certain rivers and creeks and bodies of water throughout Georgia, and it's going back and forth, back and forth, and they're supposed to be having hearings and let people put their input and blah, 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 blah. It's just been going on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Boating enthusiasts and representatives of the recreational boating industry are asking Georgia lawmakers to separate the right to float along state rivers and streams from hunting and fishing. So they want the recreational people, like the people that are just out for
kayaking and canoeing. Like, we're not fishing. We're not taking any resources. We're just floating.
That was a major theme of the final meeting of a legislative study committee that has been grappling with how to guarantee Georgians across the state's navigable rivers and streams without violating private property rights. The rite of passage is independent of laws relating to navigability. Joe Cook, paddle coordinator for Georgia Rivers, a member of the Freedom to Float Coalition, told members of the study committee, common law guarantees the right to float.
Which is a lot of states, and we used to have a lot more rights in Canada for the same thing. It changed. But like, there's many countries, and there's a right to... Was it Scotland is right to wander? What's it called?
Yeah,
right to
wander? You can wander anywhere you want. Just, you know, be courteous, leave places how
be
you found
courteous,
it.
Courteous, close gates, yada, yada, yada.
All that sort of thing. The right to float down Georgia waterways has been caught up in a debate over fishing rights that began early last year when a property owner of the Yellow Jacket Shoals portion of the Flint River banned fishing there and sued the state to enforce it. Which right off the bat, I'm sitting there thinking, wait, you're going to tell people they can't fish there, and then you're going to tell the state they have to enforce it.
Yeah.
No! You do it. General Assembly responded with legislation codifying public fishing rights into state law, but that didn't clear up confusion over which rivers and streams across the state are navigable and thus open to fishing and paddling and which are off limits. House Study Committee on Navigable Streams has held several hearings this summer and fall to try to come to grips with the issue. Front and center in the debate has been legislation. House Majority Whip James Burchett, we talked about him before, introduced this year naming 64 rivers and creeks presumed to be navigable. Right? His list bill has run into strong opposition. Representatives of the Freedom to Float Coalition argue that if the bill, if adopted, would ensure the public's right to boat, fish, and hunt on just 5% of the state's 70,000 miles of waterways.
I can see maybe limiting access for fishing and hunting because of private property rights. But if you're just floating, if you don't have a rod and reel out, you should be able to float.
Right? Because, I mean, there's the thing where if you're floating, as long as you don't step foot outside.
Stand on the bottom of the river.
Yeah. I think, they've got to do something with this to separate the two. List bills do not work when it comes to capturing the breadth of recreational boating in Georgia.
No.
Suzanne Wielander, author of Canoeing and Kayaking in Georgia, says, list bills barely scratch the surface of where people are boating today without conflict. If anybody takes a boat on any of these waterways that aren't on that list,
I guess they can shoot you.
And call the cops.
Burchett
has suggested that boaters wishing to float down streams that are not on the list of navigable waterways seek permission from landowners along the banks of those streams.
I'm wondering
if he has actually set foot in a boat.
I know, right?
Right? That isn't out on the ocean or something.
I think this is a property line. Stop, pull in, and ask the guy.
Yeah. Janina Edwards, a kayaking instructor at DeKalb County, dismissed seeking out every property owner along the stream as unrealistic and potentially dangerous. Yeah. Here. This idea could get me killed for trespassing or having to get permission from dozens of property owners, she says. If a person has a vessel and it will float on a Georgian waterway, we have a right to recreate on it.
Yeah.
Opponents of limiting access to the state's rivers and streams are also putting forth an economic argument. Boating and fishing generate $1.1 billion in economic activity in 2022, and 70 small businesses offering canoe, kayak, tube, raft, and paddleboard rentals, as well as hundreds of independent fishing guides, depend on access to Georgian waterways. Let's not curtail an entire river recreation sector, Andrea White, Community Programs Coordinator for Georgia Rivers, told the study committee. It's a major draw to our state. A study committee has until 1st of December to make recommendations for the full House to consider during 2025 General Assembly session starting in January. While Burchett's bill died with the end of the 23-24 legislative term, it could resurface next year. And it won't be an easy debate, says Republican Lynn Smith.
Like, I get... I understand, and I get the property rights issue, but depending on the nature of the stream or river, I can see where some people might have issue with it as a property owner. But if it's a larger stream or river, I don't, or a lake or whatever, like, there's been way too many debates over the last 5 to 10 years of issues like this. Like it crops up all the time. Like there's an American who has bought up a large chunk of land around a very popular lake out in British Columbia, and there's an access road that he's blocked off with rocks and gates and stuff, and people want to use the lake, and he owns most of the land around the lake, so he's blocking access. It went to court and yada yada yada. It goes too far sometimes for people who think that. You know, and again, I get property rights. I understand it. As a property owner, I get that I don't want people crossing my property. But if it's a river that runs through it, then I think that's different.
As long as they're not
stopping and camping,
ruining your...
Building cairns like a lot of idiots do.
Yeah, like most, probably like 90% of the people are just floating on by. And of that 90%, 80%, you probably have no clue they're floating on by.
You don't even know it even happened.
Right?
They just zipped right on by.
And I don't know if it's just a whole thing of, well, it's mine.
Yeah.
You can't have it.
But the water is not sitting there either. The water's flowing by.
Yeah.
So the water passing through that property is not it's like a constant flow, but it's not constant.
It's not your water.
It's new water that's constantly flowing through. I think it's something that does have to be debated and enshrined into law, because without that, then there's just too many potential conflicts of somebody, a property owner on the shore somewhere with a gun, and it's just, there's too much potential for harm by the difference between property owners and recreationalists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can get where maybe you don't want people fishing. Right? There, people are taking up resources. But as a person just in a kayak or canoe passing through, it's like you're not taking...
They'll be gone in under 5 minutes, two minutes.
But you're not taking anything.
No.
You're passing through. So if you're not fishing, you're not hunting, you're not stopping to camp, then I don't know there should be that issue. But it also depends. Like, I don't know, are you passing right in front of the person's front door on a small stream? That might be different if it's a small stream.
Being extra rowdy and loud?
Exactly. There's another problem. You're causing a nuisance, right? I don't know. It's something that I think should be debated, not by me. But
they say it won't be an easy debate, but it's one worth having.
It is worth having. It is worth having. And so Georgia we've been reading issues about this for the past couple of years for Georgia. They keep waffling back and forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple other states that are creating and changing and modifying issues.
Wisconsin seems to have some issues too.
Yes. Yeah.
That seems to be one that crops up every so often too. But then there's the other states where people are going to court because they've taken pot shots at people on the rivers.
Yeah. It's like, whoa.
Just going right on by you. Why? Like,
you're going to risk life and limb. You're going to go to jail because you didn't like somebody kayaking through. Like, holy cow.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That's a little excessive.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder, like I say, for the people that aren't fishing and stuff like that, they're just passing through. Why is that an issue?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what of this is the exact issue?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, if they're sitting in front of your place and they're hooting and hollering and
yeah,
and they're catching nonstop fish where, you know, you got that honey hole and they're emptying it.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, or damaging the trees and camping there and that sort of stuff.
Throwing beer cans or water bottles
or definitely got a complaint there.
Yeah.
But to stop everybody and start taking pot shots is completely different issues.
Hmm. Yeah, it's not going to be an easy thing, but I think it should be debated. It should be, they need to create some kind of law where it delineates the difference between recreationalists and fishing and hunting.
Yeah, and how long until you get a tourist down there?
Not even knowing.
Zipping through, not even knowing, thinking, hey, this looks like a pretty... Because how many times have we stopped on the side of a highway and say, that looks like a pretty cool place?
Yeah.
And you take the canoe off, you do a little paddle around, not even knowing that that's somebody's property on...
On Duffins Creek, we hopped out one time and where we collected some golf balls at the now defunct golf course, right? Mm-hmm. And so we were just ashore in the old golf course that's not there anymore. And
cleaning the river.
We were picking up golf balls. But it's like one of those things that could put you in opposition to a landowner who has a gun and wants to protect their property. So there's a lot of risk there.
Fine. You keep the golf balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
I expect to hear a lot more about this come spring.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Georgia. You got to do it. And it's sooner the better that they figure all this out.
Yes.
And, I mean, $1.1 billion in tourist revenue and
that's
and
a lot
whatnot.
Of money. That's a lot of revenue that could be lost because of, you know.
And honestly, who can afford to lose that kind of money these days?
That's a lot.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of money, next week.
Oh, yes.
Black Friday sales.
I'm sure everybody's seen every time you turn around, there's a commercial for Black Friday.
Remember when Black Friday used to be one day?
Yeah.
And now it's like 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Hey, it's the pre-Black Friday sales. Hey, post-Black Friday sales.
Yeah. So there's Black Friday, then there's, what is it? What's the Monday? Digital Monday or no?
Oh, isn't that Boxing, like after Christmas?
No, there's a Thanksgiving one.
Is there one for that as well?
It's an, what do they call it? Lee Valley has all kinds of sales on the Electronic Monday or whatever you call it. I can't even remember what it's called.
Oh, I thought, I didn't realize that was Black Friday week.
Yeah,
I thought
it's like, American Thanksgiving.
I thought it was after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Boxing Day sales and the Digital Monday or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's the American Thanksgiving.
Oh.
I know Lee Valley.
I tend to not buy stuff during Black Friday sales.
Yeah, it's I used to get in lines for it. I've been to the Best Buy and I remember one time I waited for like an hour and a half or so outside of a Best Buy or it was a Future Shop or something. Got in there and there was mayhem and I wandered around and the items that I wanted were already gone. It's like, yeah, we're just never doing this again.
No.
And I'm not going to fight for stuff.
We used to go on hockey tournaments to the States every U.S. Thanksgiving weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There was always a hockey tournament.
Yeah.
So we were always across the border and all the hockey moms, I'm getting up extra early. Everybody had hoped there was no... They didn't have the first games of the day because all the moms would be at the malls doing their Black Friday shopping to bring stuff back across the border, right? Oh, this shirt is $20 at home. We can get it for $5 here. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we haven't done Black Friday hockey tournaments in a couple of years now. So lots of sales on, though. And this would be the perfect time to get yourself some new or replacement gear.
Yeah, or somebody could buy me some new replacement gear.
If you got some Christmas shopping to do, now's the time to do it. If you got something for that special someone that, hey, you know what? And I'll just hold this in my closet for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think it's time to update some of your older gear, like your life jackets and stuff like that, now's a good time to maybe cash in on a couple of deals. If you're paying $150 for a PFD, maybe you get it for $110.
Yeah. I've been looking at my PFD for the last couple of trips and it's like, starting to fade a bit. Yeah. It's still solid. It's still good, but it's just the blue isn't as bright as it used to be. And
my yellows is dirty as it's ever been.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm in the next year or two, I'm going to have to buy a new life jacket.
Yeah, I think either this year or next year is for me. I'm probably just going to buy the exact same one I got.
Mm-hmm.
Just newer. And then I'll just get some dirt. I'll throw it on it to make it look like it's older.
Yeah.
Speaking of, when I was doing all my Googling, they do have we tested life jackets. These are the best, 5 best or 10 best or whatever life jackets of 2024.
Yeah.
And you're like, Kokatat was not on the list.
Oh, really?
It was all NRS and, Stolquist had one. Sorry, not Stolquist. Marine. What's the?
Oh, Mustang.
Mustang. And then there was some other company I'd never heard of. But Kokatat wasn't there, and
I'm always suspicious of. So when it comes to gear and popular gear and whatever, I wonder how much of it gets onto pages of magazines because of advertising. And, mm-hmm. and it's not so much this is the best one out there, but maybe the ones that are called the best out there have paid to get their
gear highlighted. Yeah, and see, I tend to look at the ones that say, okay, you know, when you can see there's a bit of difference in different companies that you know, because when you're sitting there going, no, everybody else is saying this is a pretty good one and it's not even on.
Yeah,
you
didn't even test exactly, it. Right?
I discard those tests right away.
Yeah.
But there was another one. Somebody did, these are the best five, because I was thinking, oh, we should talk about this. The best 5 stand-up paddleboard paddles. And somebody else did, oh, these are the top 10 paddleboard paddles.
And
completely different. There were like 15 completely different
paddleboard paddles. It goes from a test and a tryout study to this is my opinion.
Yeah.
So was your opinion bought, or was this generally researched?
So that's why we're not talking stand-up paddleboards, paddles tonight. Yeah. Because I would be talking about 15 different paddles from 2 different studies.
I have two stand-up paddleboard paddles. The first one I got was, I was on a trip up the Big East River, and it was after spring flood, and so we were pulling over this giant pile of trees that had piled up from the spring flood, and I looked up about 15, 20 feet, and there's a stand-up paddleboard paddle way up in a tree. I had to climb the tree to get it.
It's like, so if you're missing...
So it's like, oh, there was the water that high? Mm-hmm. That's crazy. So that was my very first ever stand-up paddleboard paddle.
And the second one, where did the second one come from, Derek?
Well, I bought a kit from Costco or something, inflatable paddle. Wait, did you give me one?
No.
Oh, I thought, so I only have two, because the second one came as a kit, and I bought a inflatable stand-up paddleboard kit from Costco.
And how often do you use that kit, Derek?
I've used it a couple times.
That's it?
In the pool.
I'll be out on a stand-up paddleboard in the pool.
So it's...
Are you getting any better at stand-up paddleboarding?
No.
Really?
No. Because I haven't done it enough. It's one of those things. I don't know anybody that I can go out with. Right?
It's in your backyard. In your pool.
Yes, yes.
You can go out every day and practice.
Well, no, a few times I went out, it's like, you know what, if I slip and fall, this shoots out from under me, I'm going to smash my head on the edge of the pool. It's like, so I scared myself out of doing that.
Well, make sure the video is running so we got something to laugh at.
Yeah. No, I really should get out more and do stuff like that, but it's like, life is busy. I got young kids that are having to go here, there, and everywhere, right?
Yeah, I've been I dug out my dry suit. So I'm ready to go.
Right on.
I got to get that wax for my zipper still.
Oh, the silicone stuff.
Yeah. The stuff I've been talking about getting since last year that I just...
you've never...
For some reason, cannot remember to order or pick up when I'm anywhere.
Do it now. Do it now.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Let me just press pause on this and I'll order some of that stuff. So if you're looking for anything, Black Friday, like I say, next week...
Coming up.
Sales are starting, sales are continuing, now's the time to buy it, and especially if you need to update some gear and whatnot, then now's the perfect time to do it. Because if you wait for the Christmas sales, you're going to miss out on
everything. Yeah.
Because, you know, that's the way it happens.
Yeah. I find I don't need as much gear as I used to need. I used to be on top of it. It's like, I need a new one of these and a new one of those. And now I'm just, I'm comfortable with nicked and dented stuff, and I'm okay with it. And I don't need the newest or the best of. And
no, a lot of stuff we usually buy is like maybe a new pair of pants or, well, we bought the Jet Boil. But that was last year. We bought two new chairs this year. I think the chairs are the only thing we bought new this year.
Yeah.
Everything else, the Jet Boil last year, new rain gear the year before that, and some of the tick repelling pants.
With the permethrin built in.
Permethrin, yeah. Yeah. And shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I think for next year, probably in the new year, I'm going to look at buying more long sleeved shirts.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like wick away, thin shirts with long sleeves. Like, what are they? Rashers or whatever they're called? Rash guards?
Rash guard. Yeah.
Those sort of things. And just because, I'm tired of exposing my arms to having to slather myself with sunscreen.
I always have long sleeve shirts or undershirts or something on. So I'm getting older. I want to avoid the cancer thing. It's too late. I all the cancer causing sun that I gained was in my 20s, which I had lots of suntans back then in the day. And
I had more than suntans. I had sunburns. Hey, I'm blisters. Peeling. Yeah. Those were the good old days, and we are young and stupid.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to look bronze. I want to look nice and brown.
I never tanned. I actually tan more now than I ever did because I went from like Casper the Ghost white to
lobster.
Lobster red in like a heartbeat.
So I tan nicely and evenly, and my daughter, she took after me. You can see, like, she doesn't sit out in suntan, but just being outdoors, her hair brightens and her skin gets a golden copper. And whereas Siobhan and Beckett, they have that Irish skin and they're like pale white. They're either white or they're red.
Yeah. That's me. Either white or, but now I get, I actually get some color.
Mm-hmm.
See, look.
Yeah.
The parts that don't get it is pure white. The parts that do get it are nice.
Exactly.
Nice tan. That tan will last all winter. let's talk about our buddy Cyril Deramo.
Yes. He's coming up soon. He's like a couple weeks away from starting his expedition.
He is, and we had talked to him before about his last one.
Mm-hmm.
He successfully crossed 2,800 miles of the Pacific Ocean between California and Hawaii in 2022.
Yeah.
Now he's going to take on 3,000 miles of the Atlantic Ocean from the Canary Islands to Martinique starting December 2024. His last success, mid-Pacific, 4,444 kilometers or 2,761 miles, 2,400 nautical miles. After 91 days, 9 hours at sea, Cyril completed the first solo kayak crossing, unsupported and human-powered, of the mid-Pacific Ocean from California to Hawaii.
It was the first?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was just the quickest.
No, he was the first to do it totally unsupported and all that. There was somebody else that did it, and I cannot remember his name. Somebody else has done it before, but I think he had help or something. There was something else that differentiated them. He landed at Hilo Bay, Hawaii, September 20th, 2022, completing the 2,400 nautical mile ocean crossing. So, 4,444 kilometers is 2,761 miles, which is 2,400 nautical miles. You being an ex-Navy guy, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's the difference between a mile and a nautical mile?
so I don't have it all in my head anymore. But nautical miles are measured by knots in a rope in the old days of sailing craft.
Okay.
And so it became a specific length, so you could standardize it back in the day with the English Navy and you know, captain.
So a nautical mile isn't as long as a regular mile.
No, it's shorter.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not, what is it?
Weird.
Was it a mile is, was it 2741 feet? Or something like that. I don't know. It's some. It's
yeah, yeah. We're metric.
Hey, this
here,
is
so
an easy number
you.
To remember. This do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Is that right? But yeah. So back in the day, with like 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, whatever, they developed the nautical mile, and they would just throw something with knots on the rope, and you'd like see the knots would pass through your hand, and so you could measure how many knots of speed you have, as well as the distance combined when you add up all the knots. So
now you know.
Yeah. Now we
sort
have,
of.
Now we have GPS.
Now we have GPS. Everything I do, especially when driving, is either in kilometers or hours.
Yes.
Right.
The first time I drove in the States, it's like, okay, we have this many miles to travel. I was in a rental car, and it's like, how long is that going to take?
Right?
I could not, because if 100 kilometers an hour, we got 100 kilometers. It's like it was easy. It's, the math is simple. In miles, it's like, oh, no.
If you're going 100 kilometers and it's 100 kilometers an hour, you're getting there in 1 hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so if you're driving at 70 kilometers or 70 miles an hour and you have to go 100 miles, carry the 50.
This is not easy.
Square root of.
I'm doing 55. I got to go 70.
At and three old ladies. Stand on your left foot. Do the hokey pokey. It'll take you about an hour and a half. Yeah, we do everything in either kilometers or time.
And what's funny, too, is that I it's the American influence, right? So, like, I can't do a hot tub temperature or pool temperature in Celsius.
I can do the Celsius, not the Fahrenheit. But when it comes down to the kilograms, I'm more of the pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Your pounds, you do feet and inches for height.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody, unless you're in Europe, who knows their height in
181.
Yeah, well, I'm 176. So I just
so apparently we do.
It's on my driver's license.
Hey, we're in Italy now.
It's the only reason I was on my driver's license. But really, like,
I don't measure.
I can visualize somebody that's 6 foot tall. I can't visualize somebody who's what?
Well, you're looking at one.
179 centimeters. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's what my industry is. Everything's in inches.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody across the board is in inches.
Yeah.
So it's just like, so is that 2.1, 2.5 centimeters? No, it's an inch. Yeah, weights are, for me, are still pounds.
Yeah.
But when it comes to distances and that, like, yeah, it's...
Yeah.
It's kilometers.
Yeah. So 4,444 kilometers, 91 days.
Right.
And in this case, what is his current one? It's his next
So the challenge. Atlantic Ocean, 4,800 kilometers, 3,000 miles. So about 240 kilometers or miles more.
So it's longer, yeah.
2,800 nautical miles, 400 kilometers more.
He's expecting 80 to 90 days? How long is he predicting?
Yeah, that's what he's figuring. So he'll leave December 2024 from La Restinga, the Canary Islands. With the aim to reach the island of Martinique on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean in a 100% human-powered solo and unsupported kayak expedition. So he's hoping, depending on weather, to leave mid-December.
And that's what throws me off, too, is I'm like, why December? But then you have to consider he's picking
trade
the time of year,
and
trade winds and
currents.
Lack of storms.
Yep.
Is what storm season in that area would be what, September?
Everything was
August, September, October.
Yeah.
And slightly into November. There's still a couple storms brewing. I know, this week there's a massive storm brewing off of British Columbia.
Yeah, that's the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
So he
just popped into my head because my brother's out there, and it's like apparently it's a massive storm.
solo and unsupported expedition from the Canary Islands to Barbados. First 15 days are the hardest. Seasickness, sleep deprivation, new type of food, new pace of paddling, etc. So your body's got to get used to that.
I remember when we followed him on his trip from San Francisco to Hawaii, he posted a lot of stuff publicly, but one thing we found out in our interview was that his electronic water filter or reverse osmosis mix fresh water and salt water. It broke down and he had to, and I can't imagine having to do the mental calculations like, okay, now I have only a manual water filter and I have to pump it. And so he was spending like a couple hours a day to make enough water for every day. And so that's a lot of extra calories and so on. I wonder what he learned from that in regards to, does he have a two electronic or a repair kit for, because to use solar power and battery power to make yourself fresh water, fresh water's super important. So I wonder, does he talk about that here? Has he talked about his plan for fresh water?
He's got I thought I saw something on here.
It says here, water is made by a water maker. That's all he says.
Yeah. So, which I got to think is the same one. Maybe if he knows what went wrong last time,
he could avoid it this time.
Then he'll be able to avoid it this time. Yeah. And he will have enough extra bits on to fix anything that's broken, right?
It's a big thing when you lose the capability of making fresh water.
You think?
Maybe.
So he says, 4,800 kilometers, 3,000 miles, estimate duration, 80 to 90 days. That's a big chunk.
That's a lot.
I mean, it's one day. It'll be one day cheaper.
Further, but he's predicting it going to be... time. So it took him 91 days to do a shorter distance. So now he's... I'm curious why he thinks... Maybe he's looked at the trade winds and the typical water flows that are going to maybe assist him.
Maybe. That's all I got to think is they've done the research into that and... checked out what
has other people done this journey? Do you know
this one? I do not.
Who's
that guy that you like? The Russian guy that died?
Wait, he's not dead.
I thought he died.
No, the old guy.
Yeah,
the mountain climber boater.
Yeah, didn't he pass away?
Not that I know of.
Oh, what was his name?
I don't know.
Forgot his name.
I can't remember. I still get emails. He's one of my Google searches. Every time something comes up in an article or whatever, he's a constant Google search. And I've seen him crop up lately. He was visiting some northern community in Russia recently, and he's not as active.
I honestly thought he had passed away.
Oh yeah.
Isn't there an A there or something?
Yeah. Anyways.
What else is here? 6,000 ingested calories per day. I know you were talking to him about that when he did his other one. If you want to listen to our older interview too, it was episode 330 back in June 9th. We talked to Cyril. You were asking about how many calories and stuff like that. So 6,000 ingested calories per day, 8,000 calories spent. 2,000 calorie deficit. Water is made with a water maker. Food is mostly freeze-dried, dehydrated food. High calorie bars. Supplements are from standard process. Expected weight loss, a paddler, 20 to 25 pounds, needs to gain this before departure. So he's going to fatten up before he goes.
Yeah.
Right?
And we've read about that or talked to people about that when it comes to the Alone show and whatever. And so they're... drinking olive oil, trying to gain weight just because they need something to burn.
That's just gross.
Yeah, I know.
Typical day. And we talked about this too, is what was your typical day when you're out there? Wake up, breakfast, start paddling at sunrise for the first 4 to 5 hours, break for lunch, another paddling session of 4 to 5 hours, maybe more if conditions are good. Sunset, prepare for the night, wake up every 2 hours during the night to check on the boat, start over till it gets to Barbados.
Hmm. Yeah, it doesn't sound fun to me.
Yeah. Well, because I don't think you would get, unless you're totally exhausted, I don't know that you'd get a really good sleep anyway. Because you'd be worrying about what's coming up, what's out there. If you hear something like a whale or something.
Yeah.
You know. Craft is a single kayak cabin style ocean kayak, 7 meters long, 23 feet. Aft cabin configuration, lightweight, carbon epoxy composite, very light again, but strength and safety are paramount. Fully sealable, self-righting survival pod is how we should consider the cabin. And he talked about that as well, as if it high winds and waves and stuff like that, if a storm mm-hmm. comes up and you end up capsizing, it will right itself. Human propulsion, kayak paddle plus system by feet from style, a Hobie Mirage system to alternate muscle groups and safety. So it's got a bit of a paddle system as well. For paddling, the seat is 18.5 centimeters above keel with heels of feet about 10 centimeters above keel. This will be very comfortable paddling position. There's a bilge pump in the foot area. Side decks of cockpit have been cut away. The minimum width paddle entry position at the top of the cockpit is 60 centimeters. Width at bottom of cutaway approximately 75 centimeters. Cockpit rim opening shown has continuous convex curve, so it should be possible to fit a spray deck and a night cockpit cover. The weight. Boat empty. And this bit surprised me. I figured it'd be a heck of a lot more. Hull structure estimate, 80 kilograms or 176 pounds when it's empty.
Oh, I thought it would be heavier.
I thought it'd be a lot heavier. Boat full?
Yeah.
That 800 pounds.
Yeah. With all the gear and food and all that stuff. Electronics. For 90,
I thought both those numbers would be a bit higher.
Yeah.
Especially the empty.
Mm-hmm.
I would have added another 100 pounds to each of those.
Does he... I don't know why I'm thinking about this now, but...
Uh-oh.
Is he rowing or
paddling again. It's like he
kayak
did last time.
Paddle.
Yeah.
It's human pros. Kayak paddle system by feet from Hobie Mirage system to alternate muscle groups and yada, yada, yada. Okay.
Yada, yada, yadas.
I yada, yada, yada a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I think we're gonna track him again this time and keep an eye on that and see how it goes. If you go to solokayaktheatlantic.com, that's his page for this.
Yeah.
More info, tracker, map, contact. He's got a donate button if you want to throw some money his way to help him out with this. You know what? Yeah, doing things like this, you've got to be a wee bit different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's cool that people are doing this sort of thing, but I...
Yeah. It takes a special kind of person because just
in the ocean.
You're not just going out and doing a simple race that takes a couple hours. You're talking committing months mm-hmm. of effort to just, he's probably been training for like the last 6 months, right? And so he has to be in top physical fitness and condition.
He's got to know that boat inside and out, all the electronics, everything. I would do an 80 to 90 day canoe trip, but I don't think I would do an 80 to 90 day trip out in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. There's
no where you if there's a storm coming, I can pull over to the side of the lake, set up a tarp, sit there out of the, in shelter.
Who's the photographer that I'm losing names here. Anyways, he's on Instagram. We know
Jackson.
Jackson. So he did a long trip. Him and his wife, girlfriend, mm-hmm. they did 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Last year or the year before.
That I could do.
It was a long northern trip.
If I had the time off And the money for supplies? Yeah. I'd totally do that.
And he said they did a lot of fishing for food and whatever, yep. But just imagine, like, I imagine they might have had some food drops planned along the way, but that's a long period of time how much stuff can you carry?
Yeah.
Right? That's tough because some of these northern routes, like Frank Wolf, like I remember him talking about, they're doing a multi-day portage, like camping on the
grand portage.
Yeah. So it takes several days to do a portage. It's like, holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's it. It's because there's so much change. Like, if I were to be sitting there in that boat for 90 days,
it's a lot.
I'd get bored.
Yeah.
I'm thinking probably about day 60, I'm going to start doing stupid stuff. I'm going to go wrestle that. Whatever fish comes up next, I'm diving in and grabbing it.
I need 1,000 hours of podcast to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, about day 60. I give it day 60. I'm going to start doing stupid things. So, anyway, solokayaktheatlantic.com if you want to find Cyril, follow Cyril on his latest. He should be leaving about 3 weeks from now, and all the best. Hopefully, we're going to give it a follow, and he does his blog thing and whatnot, too. So,
yeah.
It'll be cool. Good luck, Cyril.
The guy that we had talked about, the Russian guy that I couldn't think of the name, it's I'm not going to be able to pronounce it properly, but Fyodor Filipovich Konnikov.
That's the guy, Fyodor.
Yeah, Fyodor. And so he is a Russian survivalist, voyager, aerial and marine explorer. He paddled around the world. Is that not right? Yeah.
And he was somewhere down off of South America and something happened to his equipment.
Yeah.
Right? Lightning strike or something, and he had to be... Call it a day.
Yeah. So he was born in 1951, so he'd be 74 years old right now. He's still alive.
I thought he passed away.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another guy,
Dubrov or something.
Yeah. Maybe it's him I'm thinking of.
Yeah, maybe.
There's way too many people in the paddling community.
So,
forgive me for forgetting names.
So Konnikov, he... It says here, I was just looking at it, I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So in December 2010, he became an Eastern Orthodox priest in the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. So he's now a priest. But he's still doing expeditions.
You know what? Like, do you remember that when...
He was up Everest twice. He topped out Everest twice.
Yeah. Do you remember when the Food Network first came on?
Yeah.
There was the two fat ladies.
Oh, I love to watch them cook.
One of them, if you Google them, and then, like, the one, I think, she was so many other things.
Hmm.
You start looking at her history, the things she did with her life, and you're like, I thought she was just one of the fat ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
No, she did all this extra stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, wow.
Very accomplished.
Very, very.
Yeah.
So, anyway, as I continued my Googling journey... Googling. I made my way over onto Instagram. Jet Boyle made a post on Instagram.
Oh, yeah?
There are two types of people.
Oh.
Person A, clean up their pack and their gear right after a trip. Or person B, don't even glance at their pack for at least 13 days. The comments. I love reading comments on certain things. Some of the comments. Person A does not exist. I'm a mix of both.
Yeah.
Person C, leave it packed and just take it on the next trip.
Well.
It depends on how long that next trip is.
Or how wet things got.
Right. Is 2 to 3 months a person type? Person C doesn't even clean out their truck for a week, let alone glance at the pack. I need it to be a person A more because hubby smelled a smell and it was a rotting apple in my pack it out bag.
That apple's up there a while.
I don't even take off my trail clothes until that bag is unpacked and gear is all cleaned and put away. If I don't unpack right away, I fear I would leave the used WAG bag for a scary long time. Yeah. And for those that don't know what a WAG bag is, it's a plastic bag used to carry human feces out of the wilderness area. WAG is an acronym that stands for Waste Alleviating Gel.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, you go in the bag and it's got a chemical component that you can. So do you know how you have Bannock and you just pour Bannock into the Ziploc and mix it in the Ziploc bag and mix, and then and there's your Bannock. Well, in a WAG bag, you go in the bag and then mix the chemical with your waste and it gelifies it. So renders
human waste non-infectious.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got these bags of gelatin poo, like poo jello. But you can take those out. There's places like the Grand Canyon and stuff like that that
you have to use them.
You have to carry out, and popular hiking places.
And you can see where it's a problem. Where there's popular areas, you can't have a million people going in and finding new cat holes everywhere, right? That's just unsustainable. What was the mountain out west that it's melting in there? E. coli.
Yeah.
You got the big brown stains coming off the glacier.
And it's getting into the water that's going down into the waters.
Into a city, water supply. And
yeah.
Mount Rainier or something? I don't know.
So what kind of person are you? A, B, C, or another type?
I think I'm another type. Is for the most part. Well,
I'm a hybrid.
Yeah, me too.
Of A and B.
For me, I've learned my lesson early on. It's like, I remember coming, it was like, oh, my tent. I didn't unpack it and dry it out. Pull it out, and it's like, I'm going to have to breathe in this black mold.
So we come home. And we unpack the truck.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff comes down to the basement. Some of the stuff goes directly into the kitchen. Clothing, the packs that come downstairs usually have the clothes bags in them and stuff. They get opened and the clothes get directly into the laundry room.
Yeah.
All the kitchen stuff, any leftover food gets put away.
Yeah.
Any kitchen gear that's been used gets put in the sink for a good washing later.
Yeah.
Then I come down and we unpack the big bags those electronics gets taken out and put away. Any unused gear gets put away. Sleeping bags get pulled out. Tent goes to the front so that we can take it out back and set up the tent later on a dry day and dry it out if need be. Tarps get put up in the garage. Maybe not that day, but at least the next day.
Mm-hmm.
If they're wet.
Yeah.
They get strung out in the garage. But then everything just, like I say, we come down here and I spread everything out sort of deal. Then it sits for a good week or two. I don't know if you noticed, but that big pile that has been sitting behind you isn't sitting behind you anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm more or less the same. Like I said, I did learn a lesson with the tent that I forgot to unpack. But for the most part, I come back and it's about caring for gear. I've too many times I've ruined something because I forgot to do this with it or forgot to do that with it. Or, you know, like I lost a water filter once because it got moldy because I didn't put it out to dry. And you know, it's one of those things. It's like, oh, I learned this lesson once too many times. So I unpack everything, spread it out in the garage or in the spare bedroom. And I think if there's anything that I don't unpack, it's like I have a main gear bag that sits in the bottom of the canoe pack with just tools and equipment and cords and ropes and batteries and headlamps and whatever. That just kind of sits. That's still sitting from my last trip. I haven't gone through it. I always try to recharge batteries after a trip so that they can sit stored, like especially in the fall. In the summer, I don't care so much because I'm going to be going on another trip really soon. But right now, all that battery equipment is sitting there, and you got to maintain batteries over winter, or else because you can't leave a battery dead for too long. It just won't take a charge anymore. So yeah, it's one of those things. It's over time, you learn pretty quick. I think if somebody's not unpacking right away, they know they're going back out next weekend type thing, right?
You would think, or pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because there are times where I'm just leaving all this crap here. I know what's there.
Yeah.
I'm big on making sure the food comes out, and I'm big on making sure any of my kitchen stuff that's been used gets a good cleaning at home.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can clean it while you're out there, but then you bring it home and you give it a good cleaning,
yeah.
Right? Make sure the water filters, you know, I give that a good rinsing out to make sure I can get out all the dirt and crap and
yeah.
and whatnot, because you don't want to be taking stuff to other lakes as well, right?
Exactly. I rinse and wash the bags for my gravity filter.
Yeah.
And I leave my filter out to dry. I sit it on a counter in the kitchen and in a place where it's not going to get like cooking oils or something on it and let it dry properly.
I've been doing with my gravity filter. If I know I'm not replacing the filter that year and it's getting close to the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
I'll switch it around and run some clean water through backwards.
Yeah. Clean it up.
So it cleans out the filter some. Yeah. Sometimes, depending. And if it's still getting, looks kind of dirty, I'll run a second 4-liter bag
exactly.
through. So, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 liters goes through it backwards to flush it out. And then, yeah, I let it sit there. And some people say you put it in a baggie and throw it in the freezer. I've never...
Yeah, I've heard of people doing that. Like, so I started with the ceramic filters,
mm-hmm.
and so you couldn't let those freeze. They would crack. And so the newer ones, like the platypus and whatever, I've heard that you can freeze them. It's not damaging, but I don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... Like, maybe if... I would prefer to dry it well.
Yeah.
And then leave it in a Ziploc. So...
Yeah, that's my thought
on
it. But then, everything's... But, I mean, we use a lot of our... Well, not... Yeah, a fair amount of our camping gear for winter camping as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So...
Same.
We have a room everything sits in down here, and then it basically it's just going shopping. Okay, we need this, we need this.
Exactly.
It's winter season now. All this stuff, this stuff.
Yeah.
No, that summer, we got bigger chairs we take, so we don't need the small chairs.
Yeah, exactly.
And all that sort of thing. So then you get your second set of gear. But when we come home, same deal. Like, the tent gets set up in the garage, hung to dry. The tarps go up to dry. Everything's brought down here. The sleeping bags are pulled out. The blankets that we have are washed or whatever if need be.
Yeah.
Again, with the food stuff gets... put away, garbage gone through and tossed, food prep stuff is thoroughly washed before being brought down and put back in the room sort of deal. So each into their own. But yeah, if you were going out every weekend, especially if you're hiking, like, I mean, it's one thing to do that hiking, you got your bag and you go. But if you're canoe tripping every weekend, I'm not unpacking everything.
Exactly.
Every
time. Yeah.
It'd be like, oh, forget that. I'd have two packs at that point. I'd have a pack and a barrel. Anything that's in the barrel is getting unpacked. Anything in that pack, I know, is just staying in there till next week.
Yeah.
Right? Simple is as simple does.
Yeah.
So, so we're like a hybrid of A and B, I think. And I think a lot of people I know are the same.
Yeah,
same deal.
If you learn over time to care for your gear and preserve it for future use, so then you kind of become a combination.
Yeah.
You have to. You can't.
Well, that's like after a long trip,
mm-hmm.
people are like, I come home, get my gear all cleaned up and packed away. I got to go in for a shower. Or some people, they'll load up their truck and then hit one of the showers at the park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Me, I come home, I am so bagged at that point. I'm having a shower before I go to work in the morning, so I'm sleeping stinky. Shower is actually so low on my list when I get home. It's getting the gear unpacked, getting the truck unpacked, mm-hmm. getting clothes into the laundry, that sort of stuff, and making sure I've got stuff ready for the next day, grabbing a bite to eat if we haven't already. Oh, and that's the big thing we're missing now, too, with Ariana being in Japan, is if Trace and I went on a trip, we would text her saying, hey, we're on our way, we'll be home at whatever time.
Food ready.
And there'd be, like, dinner ready.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying a new roast beef recipe, or I've got the smoker going. Or
perfect.
So now we come home, let's stop at A&W on the way home, because there's nothing at home. And lazy-ass cats ain't going to be cooking nothing. You know. But, like I say, I get home, get all the gear out. Having a shower As gross as that may sound, I've just been sleeping like that for the last week anyway. The shower is like so low on my list.
Yeah, it's pretty high up on my list. I wouldn't be able to sleep. You know, it's just the smell of myself and legs sticking together. It's like, nope.
You've just been doing it for the past 7 days sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
So what's one extra day?
I don't want to contaminate my clean sheets in my bed.
Well, you're going to be doing laundry anyway, so you might as well just throw your sheets in too. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's all I've got on. Oh, is it? Yes, it is. That's all I've got on my list. You got anything else?
I've got nothing.
I got nothing. Oh, man. I can't wait till paddling season really kicks off.
What?
I got to get me some of that wax for my dry
suit. Oh, zipper. your dry
suit. Yeah. Winter paddling season's now.
Note
here.
To self.
Right? I can't believe, I look at stuff like, oh, I got to get this, I got to get that, I got to get that.
Yeah.
And because you don't use the dry suit all the time.
Yeah, the first time you pull it out of storage, it's like, oh no.
And then, you know what, I'll get it because I'm going to be going in 2 weeks. Again, I'm going to make sure I grab some. Yeah. 2 weeks comes along, oh man. I just got this block, so yeah, I got to set up some
notification. Set an alarm.
Yeah, just put big stickers everywhere. Order. Send myself emails at work. All righty. Well, hopefully things start to settle down. And
I know, right?
You really need to get yourself a dry suit.
I've been thinking about the last couple of years. I don't know how much the shoulder seasons are the time where I kind of recover and get ready for the next season.
Yeah, but going out for a day paddle or something.
That would make a difference, yeah. Right?
Even John Brower, our buddy John Brower there, he did the Toronto Harbor.
Oh, did he recently?
Well, Complete Paddler moved. They had the grand opening.
They moved?
Yeah.
Where'd they go to?
Another spot in Mississauga.
Yeah?
Easier to get to, from what I understand. Better store layout.
Oh, okay.
Because Novacraft owns them now, right? So what? Kevin, yeah. Where you been hiding, dude?
Like Nova a year Craft ago. Owns Complete Paddle?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So Kevin Callan was at the new grand opening there doing some stuff. Yep. And so John went, but before or after he went and did a little paddle around the harbor. Toronto Harbor. See the airport. Yeah. See the CN Tower. Nice. See people.
See planes almost land on you.
It's two people-y there. But but even just to get out for a day paddle around here.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not safe to... Lake Ontario is so cold as it is.
Yeah, you gotta have a dry suit on.
Yeah, even in July, the water's chilly cold.
Yeah. I went all winter last year. Even New Year's in Algonquin Park, there was open water.
Yeah.
If this is the sign of times to come...
There's going
to
be year-round paddling.
There's going to be more and more better year-round paddling spots. Oh, and for the record, it is now almost the end of November.
Yeah.
And I said it was going to be nice up until the end of November.
Okay.
And it's been fairly nice
it's been
so far.
Too bad.
See? Some days I do know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Other days I'm just winging it.
I'm always winging it.
It's going to be on my tombstone. I was just winging it. I winged it, wanged it, wunged it. I just wung it. Alrighty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And you can download or stream our episodes at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com and you can listen to all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.